Lion's Edge is back, baby! Hey there, welcome back to another episode of Lion's Edge, brought to you by BetMGM. First time in a long time. It's been 4 months since our last episode. I think it was March Madness, toward the end of March Madness, since I last sat down and recorded. So it might be a little out of practice. The media rounds have been few and far between this summer, but I'm happy to be back with you guys for the foreseeable future. It has been a turbulent few months in my life. Lots has been happening. I've been out of town a lot, which is part of the reason for the long absence. I got married. That was half a month where I was out of town. Vacation with my parents and my sister and her husband, which we are not big vacationers, so that was a rare occurrence. Another vacation coming up here with the wife's family shortly. Still getting used to calling Dr. Alex my wife. That's new. Been thinking about new media business called PSQ. I might start to draw up some plans for. If you're a longtime listener, you know I'm a dreamer. I've got ideas. I'm idealistic. My wife bought a golden retriever puppy who is from time to time a giant terrorist. Made plans to enter my first true real professional NFL Survivor contest for the first time this summer. So that'll probably be a future episode as well. Jammed my finger up pretty good this past weekend. Got the college squad back together. A little bit of golf, a little bit of breweries. Drank a fair amount. Stretched into a ceiling fan. Playing a little hurt today. There's been a lot going on. But something I've been thinking about as much as anything these past few months is a question I think central to this podcast and the future of this podcast. What kind of handicapper am I? I'm not saying that's a question everybody should ask themselves, though they should. I'm saying specifically this was something that I was asking myself. You know, you might recall, again, if you're a longtime listener, that I kind of divide bettors into three buckets. Long-term losers, advantage handicappers, and professionals. Long-term losers you can probably define for yourself, and the only real difference between the second group and the third group is scale and clout. I'm betting $400 on a tennis match. Some other guy's betting $400,000 on a tennis match. That's the difference. But, you know, I've always been a little bit of a generalist. You know, I've been a winning gambler. That is to say, I've had the tools of a winning gambler and consistently made money for probably about 6 years now. And I love to bet college football, and I always have. Everyone bets the NFL. I'll bet NBA totals, baseball props. I've always been passionate about college basketball, tennis, you know the drill by now. Some of these categories I am elite at. And some of them, I'm in that respectful winning place, the zone around 54 to 56%. And some of them, I am increasingly up and down. You know, I pay close attention to my edge and my pick history, as any self-respecting handicapper should, I think. And what I've noticed is that I am increasingly seeing that up and down track for a lot of my bets. Everybody has a bad stretch in gambling. In baseball, even the best teams have a 25-game run where they're 11-14, 10-15. That's just the law of large numbers. You're going to be able to pick out almost any kind of small data set if you're looking at a large enough data set over top of it. So over 5,000 bets or 10,000 bets, you're going to have a few bad months. This, what I'm talking about, this didn't feel like that. This felt like something else. And it wasn't just a month or two either. I noticed some of my edges were regressing towards zero. I'm still smashing tennis picks because I just think I'm so far ahead of the market there that it's hard to get any other outcome. But almost everywhere else, there were weeks where I felt almost square. I was having a crisis of confidence. I don't know how else to put it. I don't admit this lightly. I host a gambling podcast for a gambling company. And if there is one industry in the world that runs on fumes and false bravado, it is the handicapping content service. You're all on social media. You know exactly what I'm talking about. Touts that have never had a losing month in 72 allegedly tracked months. They hit every sport across the sports book at 65% winners. NFL, yeah, they're experts. Cricket, no doubt. Tennis, softball, polo, everything you can think of, they're experts in. Yeah, right. We all know BS when we see it. So this is my competition. You know, at least in the content space. This is who I am competing for eyeballs with. And who are the masses more likely to listen to? Never wrong guy who's never wrong about anything and is always showing a confident, easy smile? Or an honest guy who hasn't been feeling too sure of himself of late? It is dangerous for my own brand for me to say what I'm saying right now. But I've always tried to be honest in this space, even painfully so, even when it might not be wise to do so from a content strategy perspective. And so I'm coming clean about this too. I started feeling some real imposter syndrome over the last year. You know, I felt like I started working for a sports book and my analysis got worse. You know? My picks got worse. I knew more than I had ever known about how sportsbooks operated, how lines were made, what the process looked like, and yet I was getting worse. Didn't make any sense to me. It's not like I was bad, I don't want to oversell this, but I was no longer excellent. I was above average, sometimes maybe even mediocre. And think of how many people are capable of being mediocre in this space. Average means losing in sports betting. Average means you are net negative. I don't ever want to be average in gambling or in anything else. I've talked before about the power of specialization in handicapping. I did a 10 Things to Know About Gambling for Idiots episode a few summers ago with Andrew, where I specifically talked about having a home sport where you have maximum edge. But here I am, betting on absolutely everything over the last, I don't know, year and a half. I even had a conversation with a manager at work, a couple managers really, about my workload for the blog and how it's been stretched out to maximum proportions. And it feels like my work was suffering. You know, when you look at what my portfolio of content is at BetMGM, it's NFL, college football, managing an NBA partnership with monthly content there in the futures market, college basketball, tennis, NBA props, baseball props, promotional write-ups. I needed to pare down. It was so much to follow. It was too much to keep in my head at one time. It wasn't possible. Was that the problem? Am I trying to bet too much? But even after that, even after having some really hard conversations with coworkers about, you know, what my work is and how maybe we can make it better, meditating on all this in my personal time, talking with my wife, I still couldn't quite put my finger on what was wrong. I had a lot of time away from the podcast. I couldn't address it. And while it wasn't my idea to put the show on hold back in March initially, I did feel like I needed to sort all of this out, sort my own perspective out before I could come back and do the show. Or at least do the show honestly in a way that I feel is ethical and I guess available for the listeners. And then a few weeks ago, it hit me. It hit me so fast. And I couldn't believe it took me so long to figure it out either. I was like sitting at the dining room table in my house eating some yogurt, I think, and it just crashed into my head. One thought, and it connected every single individual piece for me. I have lost some of my handicapping edge because handicapping is no longer my job. I'm like a lot of you all now. I have a 9-to-5 job. I am not somebody who spends all day, every day, looking for the best bets anymore. I used to do that. I don't anymore. I started working for BetMGM in November 2021. Before that, I didn't have a W-2 job. I lived alone in a 2-bedroom apartment in Richmond. Next neighborhood over from where I live now, it's called The Fan. I'd wake up every morning and start breaking down games. I'd place bets. I'd cash out. I'd pay my bills. I had some other stuff going on too, working on a novel, as a lot of you know. I've always done freelance writing work since my early 20s. I've worked as a stringer for newspapers. I did stuff that kept me sharp, but never tied me down. I was professionally unattached, and that allowed me to put a lot of sweat equity into researching games and making good bets. And then I would cross the street and go to a bar because I didn't have a job. And I would watch the games and I would count the money. That's what I was doing. That's why my bets were always so sharp and why I always had great recommendations for the show. The podcast and the betting, the handicapping, were essentially my full-time job. But in November of 2021, I took an actual full-time job. And my full-time job stopped being handicapping. I became a key piece of the content machine here at BetMGM, and I've spent the last 20 months working really hard in that direction. And you know, that comes with research too, as does a lot of the prep work I do for this podcast. But 3 or 4 hours, a long afternoon of handicapping research, does not compare to 25 or 30 hours a week of studying and analyzing lines and markets and futures and team trends. And so my edge has gone the only way it could, given those facts. It's receded. It's gone down. Like I said earlier, I don't want to oversell what I'm feeling. I'm still pretty good at this. I'm still employed in this capacity. I'm still very good at breaking down a market. I still know all the key numbers, maybe even spotted a few new ones. I still lay down hedge setups in the NBA and the FCS playoffs better than anyone I know. I still know plenty of secrets in college football and tennis. So this is not a monologue about how I am suddenly married and washed up. Don't think that it's that. But when you've been a real winning handicapper that's grinding out a few thousand dollars in profits every month, you start to notice when your thousands become hundreds. That's the kind of ROI differential that doesn't elude anyone who's being honest about their wins and losses. And I've always tried to say, honesty and self-awareness are some of the most crucial skills to success in this kind of business. I might be an advantage gambler still. I might be a winning gambler, but that's not my job anymore. That's not where I spend the majority of my time. And so sitting down thinking about what I wanted to say on this first episode back, I think I wanted to acknowledge that and make it clear that I want this podcast to be the best version of itself. I want it to be my skills best put to work in service of not just exploring the handicapping space, but also giving you guys, the audience, the best and most actionable information that I can come up with. So this season of Lion's Edge, by BetMGM, of course, I'm going to zoom out a little bit. Maybe a little less bravado, maybe a little more looking at markets. We'll have plenty of time for week one college football picks, breaking down six-pack numbers, NFL week by week. Don't think that I'm not going to talk about picks anymore. But I'm also going to try to spend more time on futures and more time talking to guests, both from inside the machine here at BetMGM and from other notable places around the sports industry. That's what I'm aiming for as we march through another season together. I think last year we had some good guests, but they were too few and too far between. Some of that is because of the profile of the podcast, which is less famous than other podcasts, as I think as we all can acknowledge. But some of that was because, you know, guests fell through and I didn't spend the time to try to find a replacement. I thought, oh, well, I guess I'll just solo it this week. That's not going to be good enough this year, I don't think. I really want to commit to new perspectives and conversations with really interesting and smart people that have things to share that I don't necessarily. So that's what I'm looking for this next year of the podcast. We've got about a month and change left this offseason. I'll be profiling a few of the most interesting stories I've seen, I've studied, I've written about this summer, some NFL, some college. Watch for those episodes, of course, in the coming days and weeks. As was the case last year, the published days to watch are Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. In season, I'm getting college football picks out on a Wednesday. I'm getting NFL picks out on a Thursday. Mondays will also be relevant sometimes because I want to react to something big that just happened. I'll pull in maybe a guest or two and talk with them about it. The show showed tremendous growth last year in terms of new people coming to the podcast, and some of that is thanks to you guys. So to those who shared the show with a friend, I really appreciate it. That sense of community is going to be more important than ever this year because, just being honest here, not trying to get super topical or political, but the change in Twitter's philosophy on verification definitely hurts me, and it hurts this show. If you're somebody who likes Musk and likes Twitter's new sense of direction, likes some of the criticisms that have been levied against the old model, I think that's okay. There was some cronyism and some elitism in the old system. I did a short thread about it on Twitter a while ago. But the reality is that I was afforded a certain degree of authority as a podcast host when I was verified as a journalist figure in the old system. And with that no longer available to me, I really have to rely again on knocking on doors and you know, so to speak, metaphorically. I have to rely on word of mouth. I've got to have a good ground game here. Fortunately, you guys have always been really passionate about dropping me DMs on Twitter, letting me know what you liked about an episode, or sharing a great interview with your group chat. I really do appreciate those things. It is very difficult to sit here and try to do great content and bang your head against the wall with no real distribution gasoline in my arsenal. I can't supercharge this. I have to do it the old-fashioned way. So when you guys do things to help support that, I really do appreciate it. It is like you were doing me a personal favor. And so I really have always appreciated those kinds of things. If you like a particular episode coming up, if you feel like, you know, I've given out a real trove of winners one week and you feel great about it, I'm never going to ask you for tips. That's not my thing. I see myself as the ombudsman of gambling here. But it does help me if you take 5 minutes and rate the show, leave a quick review, send it to a friend. Those kinds of things are really helpful. It tells the algorithms that run the podcast apps to push the show at more people, and that is the most helpful thing that you can do. Like I said, check back here in the coming weeks for more episodes, more interviews, more promotions that could be happening at BetMGM that I'll try to share. Until then, we've got a whole lot of tennis, baseball, and golf at the sportsbook because it's mid-July, and you know that's just the situation. Hall of Fame game in Cleveland is, I think, 17 days away. It'll be here faster than you think. Preseason football. After that, we're on the downhill slide to week zero, college football. It's great to be back. Can't wait to talk to you guys and do these episodes again. Good luck with your bets. Be good.